the word to our hearts this morning. It's entitled, In the Light. Our life here in this realm, the natural world, is very complicated. There are many voices, there's just many pulls on you, things trying to get you to go one direction or another. We have too much information, too busy, so much that would try to weigh us down to where you're just trying to survive getting through the day. Now, we can accept that as just being the life that the way the life is, or we can realize that we serve a different master. And even though we're in this world, we're not of it. And God wants our load to be light. There's nothing light about the load that this age will put on you. With the worries, the concerns, all the things that are going on, your sense of responsibility, we can go on and on with things. But you can still be responsible, work hard, and carry a light load if we're carrying things according to God's Spirit and according to His will. Jesus said, my load is easy, is light. This coming from someone that went to the cross, gave up his life, paid the price for our sins. And he describes his relationship with the Father as a light load. What is a light load? I only do what I see my Father doing. I only speak what I hear my Father speaking. A light load is when we yield to the Holy Spirit and we're free to respond to what God wants. And we're free to not carry burdens that He doesn't want us to carry. The Lord drew me to this scripture, Matthew 6:14. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear or spiritually perceptive, your whole body will be full of light. It's God's intent for us to be shine as spiritual beings in this world. What does that mean? It's misinterpreted in a lot of legalistic systems as being we got to be perfect people so the world can look and say those people don't have any flaws at all. They're different. No, what makes us different? What did God reveal to Moses? What makes us different is His presence. So it's not us trying to be perfect or striving to be perfect. It's the Spirit of God in us shining the light of who the Lord is to the world. So instead of striving for something that we can never attain anyway, that's a heavy load, we say, yes, I yield to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit can be in us what He wants to be, if He is free in our life, the result is light emanates through our being. That light is the expression of Christ, of God the Father. It is a living works. It is a living revelation. It's what every ministry should be in, whether you're apostle, prophet, whatever your ministry. Light is to emanate from that core. And that's the testimony to the world that God is truly alive. So it says here, if your eye is single or spiritually perceptive, your whole body will be full of light. It comes down to focus. If God can get our attention and we can be looking the right direction, we don't have to struggle to be full of light. If we're looking at the right source, the fullness of light follows from that. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful promise to us. Where are we looking? Of course, if you're in church, everybody's going to say to God, to Jesus, to this, to that. But where is our life really focused? Are we focused on the problems of the planet to the point that's all we're doing is even prayer, praying about God resolving this, resolving that? Or is our focus on, He's my Lord? The Lord is my shepherd. He's our Lord. What does that mean? It simply means that His voice is the voice we follow. John 10. My sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. His voice is a voice that governs us and guides us, comforts us. His voice is that canopy of authority that we sit under. That's what it means to have your eyes single. A lot of things are trying to draw your attention, but you say, I'm focused on only one thing that's important. Jesus, you're my Lord. Thy will be done. In this earth, my life, this planet, as it is already done in heaven. So eye is clear, spiritually perceptive. God wants to open our perception to see Him. Psalm 119, 105 goes like this. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. A lamp to my feet. Now feet, to me, are a symbol of understanding. It's like we walk through life. How do you walk through life? With your mind open, hopefully. We walk, we make plans. Our mind is thinking all the time. And according to our thoughts, go our steps, right? So when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it was a great act of humility, but it was also significant that he was washing away the wrong thinking. Amen. The wrong perspective, the taint of the world. He was washing their feet so that they could have a renewed mind, that they could understand things from a heavenly perspective. So when it says, your word is a lamp to my feet, it means God's revelation comes to our mind and changes the way we think. What happens when our feet are enlightened, our understanding's enlightened? A light to our path. When He can change how we think, then we can see how He's leading. But how can He be a light to our path if our mind is cluttered with the lies of the enemy, thoughts of shame, all the negative thoughts that hit at us? We need our feet. We need our minds washed. Washing by the water of the Word so that we can think in a new way. And then the path before us has light. Verse 130 in chapter 119 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. Unfolding. It's a process. The revealing, the revelation of the Word of God as it comes to us. What does it leave behind? What's the deposit of the Word when it's living in you? Light. John 8:12. I am the light of the world, Jesus is speaking. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's the Lord Himself, and it says, he who follows me. Again, what's the one thing that's important? Following the Lord. Oh, that life can't be that simple. It is in the realm of spirit. You got to follow somebody, you got to serve somebody. And either the enemy's lies are going to clutter your mind, or we're going to follow the Spirit of the Lord. It has to do with who we worship. Has to do with who we listen to. But this thing of the Lord being the light, as we follow Him, we experience that same light. We will not walk in darkness. Following Jesus is what takes us out of the realm of Satan's lies and negativity. But we'll have the light of life. To be in the light is to be in the divine life that He's given us. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine in such a way that people will see your good deeds and glorify God. Wonderful verse. I go back to it, it seems like every once a month. Let your light shine in such a way. In other words, if it's the Spirit shining through us, the good works draw attention not to us, but to God. Amen. Signs and wonders are wonderful. The question is, will God get the glory? If it's true light coming through, the light of Christ, then the good deeds leads to people acknowledging God our Father as wonderful. 1 John 1, verses 5 and 7. It says, God is light. That's why we want to be in the light. That's who God is. God is love. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Now, this is difficult for us to simulate sometimes as humans, because God is good. There's no darkness in God. But boy, I sure go through some dark places. If God really loved me, why am I experiencing darkness? Why am I experiencing pain? Why is life so difficult? Why do I have the problems I have? He made us free moral agents. He gave us free will. There's no darkness in God. God is perfectly good. We go through some things that aren't so good. Not because he doesn't love us. Just part of our journey through life and the way that he is drawing us to himself.
Amen.
Believe it or not, when the scripture says all things work for good for those that love God, that scripture is actually true. You may not be feeling good, but the result of what you're going through, you're being drawn to the goodness of God. Being drawn to the light. So when you think of, oh, God must be punishing me today, I'm having a really bad day. No, in God is no darkness at all. Punishment is darkness. Now, he corrects us, but that's all by his love. He disciplines us, again, his love. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, verse 7, we have fellowship one with another. The whole basis of what is the body of Christ and what is church all about, it becomes so complicated. All these organizations, all these rules, all these things to look at and follow this, follow that. If we walk in the light, which is simply the Holy Spirit's presence within us, God is already the light. That is our basis of fellowship. That light is what connects us. That light is why it's important to assemble together. Because as we worship together, that light is able to move among us and bring change and healing and blessing. It's not limited to us being together only physically, but it helps if we can. But even when you're not here, don't you sense your brothers and sisters in the Spirit? There's no limitation to the Spirit. What's important, the one important thing, is what Jesus is speaking to you. It's that simple, light burden. We honor his voice with that single eye. We give him what he wants. We let his words come to us and create our perspective, rather than trying to force his words to support our agenda. You can't be listening and trying to direct God at the same time. If you're listening, you're saying, Lord, be unto me according to your word. So the word comes and changes you. When we're trying to use the word to support our opinions or whatever, there's no life in that. That's not light. That really is darkness, because it leads to contention and division and all sorts of things we don't want. The rich young ruler, Mark 10, verses 17 through 31, you'll read this later, comes to Jesus, and we know the story. He followed the law. He was seeking God. He wanted to know, what do I need to do to have eternal life, salvation? It says, Jesus looked him in the eye and loved him. And of course, you know what the Lord finally said to him. One thing is lacking. Sell all that you have. Come and follow me. Letting go of what he couldn't let go of. We need to look at what this is all about. I think it's very important. Now remember, Jesus is still teaching under the time of law. It seems very discouraging for someone that was trying so hard to leave him with something that was impossible for him to do. Or at least he felt it was impossible. But the reason for that is the light is not our striving for perfection. The light is not how well we do the law, how well we follow the rules and regulations. Now, please follow the rules and regulations. You'll live a better life. But those aren't things that make up the spiritual life. Jesus told him something that Jesus knew he couldn't do. And the disciples discussed that. The reality is, the world needed a savior. not a better system of striving to be perfect. So Jesus made it impossible because he was going to go to the cross and bring forth the truth that everyone needed to be saved, and it's by grace and not by works. Scripture says, another translation of those verses, when the disciples came and they said, well, who can be saved? My gosh, you've made it, we thought it was hard enough under the law. You've come, you've made it even harder. No, Jesus came to make it impossible to do it the old way. How else could we receive a new way? But he said, it's no chance if you think you can do it yourself. Ah, there's the key. That independent self-will sprouted up in the garden. When they listened to the enemy, you can be like God, just eat of this tree. You can do it yourself. Do it your own way. No chance if you think you can do it yourself. Every chance if you let God do it. So what's the whole point of this? Needing a Savior means we're able and we let go of the things that are impossible for us. We lay them at our feet, at his feet. This person later under grace would have said, Lord, I'm a very rich man and this is a tough thing. Can you please help me? I need grace to be able to let go of this. These riches are governing my life. They're an idol to me. He couldn't do it in himself. Neither can we. We're to lay everything before him. That's the process of light. And it says in the scriptures, we're to lay our crowns before him. Your gifts, the things you value most. Do you think you can do that without his help? I can lay some things down without his help. But there are other things that are so tied into my sense of being and so I'm so conditioned by. The only way I can let go of it is if I cooperate with the grace of God in my life. And that's all we need to say. This is the process of light. Lord, I can't do it. I'm willing for it to be done. You do the impossible. Amen. We yield, we submit to him. That's how light works. In Luke 10, we're almost done here. 10, verses 41 and 42. Martha and Mary... You know the story. Martha was worried about many things, anxious. Again, you see all that scattering of the thinking, the burden. She's carrying this heavy burden. I've got to make this house just perfect for Jesus. And Mary sits at his feet. And what did Jesus say? Mary was doing the one thing that was necessary. What's the one thing that's necessary? For us to try to make our lives perfect for Jesus? He already knows we're a mess. We can't fool him. Right? Clean the house any way you want. He knows where all the hidden stuff is in the closets, in the basement, in the attics. What's he looking for? The light is listen. The one important thing is listen to him. That's where the light flows. See, again, that burden is light. If we feel we've got to impress God, oh my gosh, your shoulders are going to break with that burden. If you realize that God favors you already, you can't impress him any more than you are, he loves you as you are, then we can listen to his voice and let the light flow. And there's two more. I'm not quite done. John 13:34, Jesus said, this one new commandment I give you. You remember that? What did he say? Love one another as I have loved you. Again, the light burden. Love one another same way I've loved you, unconditionally, with a forgiving heart. You see, this the process of light releases us into love. It's something that we can grow in. But if he would have told them, I expect you to be perfect, I expect you to have perfect character, no flaws, that's something they could have never done. The law could only point out the failure of being human and trying to relate to God. Jesus came as the answer. When we accept him as the answer, and we accept, Lord, all you expect of me is I stand in your presence, God is love, and I'm going to be able to love others and myself the same way you love. That is being spiritual. That is a state of light. Okay, I'm going to read one more thing to you, and then I promise I am done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 3, from the Message Bible. If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is a fashionable god of darkness. They think he can give them what they want and that they won't have to bother believing a truth they can't see. They're stone blind as to the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. All we are is messengers, errand runners, from Jesus for you. It started when God said, "Light up the darkness," and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. Amen.